and welcome to another very special episode of Let Me Explain You a Thing. My name is Andrew, and this is the podcast where I talk extemporaneously on a subject I know a decent amount about, usually on my drive to or from work, which is the case today, so I apologize in advance for road noise. Can't help it. This is when I record most of the time. Today, I thought I would talk a little bit on a subject that I honestly can say I only know a decent amount about. Usually when I say I know a decent amount about it, it's sarcastic, it's hiding my shame, that I know as much as I do about Bionicle or whatever. In this case, though, this is a newfound interest of mine, and I'm kind of learning it. I'm still, you know, finding the ropes. So, I honestly do only know a little bit about it. What is that topic? That topic is Fortnite. Yes, how do you do, fellow kids? And Fortnite, I started playing in end of December, start of January. I know this is of no interest to any listeners, but I find it kind of a charming story. It feels like it's a something out of another time, but my sister and my brother-in-law went to his family for Christmas. While they were there, his sister evangelized them on Fortnite, got them interested in playing. They brought their Switch, so they were, you know, like, to the holidays, so they were playing together. And they were like, they came to me and my partner and were like, you guys gotta play Fortnite. So, you know, like, it's free to play, essentially. It's like a freemium game, but it's basically free to play. And this is, I find this to be kind of a barrier for me getting into new games. Like, people are like, hey, let's play Helldivers 2, let's start up Barotrauma. And I'm like, okay, that sounds neat, but like, I can't, like, $30 or $40, it's not as much as like a AAA game these days, not by half, but it's like a lot of money to dump on something that maybe I'm not going to be that into. I don't know. I have to try stuff. I'm very picky when it comes to video games, I've found. I used to be more of a gamer or think of myself more as a gamer in like high school or early college. And now I realize that I'm really not. I just, like, I have a very idiosyncratic interest in video games. The games that I like, I go really deep in. And I'm not sure if Fortnite's going to make that great yet, honestly. I think it could. It has the makings of it. We're just not there yet. And when I say deep, I mean like reading up on the lore, delving into the wikis, you know, like memorizing like tables of like damage output and stuff and like crafting recipes and that kind of thing. Like Minecraft, that's a game that I'll go deep on and have. Age of Empires 2, The Age of Kings. I've already recorded a few podcasts on Age of Kings. So you know I'm deep into that. I'll be charitable, I won't call it a mental illness, but you know what I mean. But yeah, there's some games that I really love, I really invest a lot of time and energy into, and usually not money, but anyway, Fortnite, not quite there yet, so I'm gonna just tell you what I know now. This is kind of me recounting, almost for myself as well, and my background, you know, having had, like, my sister and brother-in-law get me into the game, me and my partner, we'll play, you know, together over, be on a call and, like, play online, and it's been so much fun. It really has taken me back to, the kind of gaming that I did as, like, a child and a teenager, that, yeah, the technology was bad, you know, the games weren't as sophisticated, the graphics weren't as good, but that kind of feeling of, like, couch co-op and, like, playing games not in a vacuum, not in your own little lane, you know, with your own lonely little time, but, like, playing so heavily with other people is a dragon I didn't realize I'd been chasing. And I think this is why I've kind of lost some of my interest in video games. Well, it makes sense why. Like, in high school, all my friends, everybody I know is, like, lives in my neighborhood. I was lucky enough to, you know, grow up in one place, and, you know, all my friends as well, like, were right there. So we played a lot of games, you know, just going over to some, like, one another's houses. Aside from that, in, like, college, kind of same deal. Like, you live in a dorm or a house with a bunch of friends, and you LAN. Like, it's not necessary. Like, you're all connected to wireless internet. You could be someplace else. But the fact that you are in the same room is so key to it all. And I think in COVID, I kind of recaptured a little bit of that spark as well, in all the bleakness that went along with that time. Just being able to, like, hop on a Discord with a group that we would play really regularly with. And it wasn't like a once in a while kind of, like, oh, when I can, you know, squirrel away, like, a few hours to hang out with the guys or whatever. It was like, we do this regularly, not signing off kind of furtively, like, oh, well, this was really fun, we should do this again sometime, and then not for another, like, 6 months to a year or more. Or, you know, you never know when your last time is sometimes with these things, with this kind of, like, really disconnected sort of social environment. But yeah, I think we've recaptured that a little bit. And also, gaming with my sister, that really takes me back to growing up. To playing, you know, Super Smash Brothers on the N64 on the small TV in our living room. Like, yeah, that is just so choice. Anyway, cannot guarantee that your experience will be the same should you pick up Fortnite tomorrow. But that's been mine, and I think that's really contributed to my, like, early attachment. You know, my attachment thus far to this game, I'll say. My partner's brother also plays, so, like, we have these, like, big family, extended family jam sessions where it's, like, my family, my partner's family, you know, my brother-in-law's family. Like, it's, I don't know, it's just so cool. Anyway, that's not going to be your experience if you just start playing Fortnite, so... What do I like about it aside from that? Well, it's a shooter, but the core gaming loop is really, really fun. That's really what it comes down to. And I think nowadays we have the understanding of the gaming experience as adults to, you know, we have the language to describe what a core gaming loop is. And that is just, you know, what recurs, what happens repeatedly. That is central to how the game is played, and, you know, is it good? Like, in Pokemon, what's the core gaming loop is, like, you're walking around, you're maybe doing some puzzles, like, trying to get from one side of the overworld to another, you're challenged by trainers, you encounter wild Pokemon Maybe you fight, maybe you capture trainers you have to defeat in order to advance. That's kind of the loop. And it's a very enjoyable loop. Like, the strategy game element of the battle or the capture is so enjoyable. And then you've got the, alongside that, you know, weaving your way through this really interesting overworld map. Fortnite, Fortnite is a battle royale shooter, which is in the same genre as, I think, some of its primary, like, competitors on that stage right now are Apex Legends and PUBG, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. I think PUBG got there first, I believe. Fortnite definitely was not the first in this space. And it's had some criticism for the way that it, you know, manages its economy, the way it monetizes microtransactions. I think we should all be, as gamers, very critical of microtransactions. I think that's a way, and like the ways that these can be, players can be manipulated to play more than maybe they even like want, just in order to collect cosmetics and other, you know, items that are made artificially scarce. I think the just absolute licensing bonanza that Fortnite is should also be a source of criticism. I think they definitely lean really hard on other IPs that people have, you know, a built-up nostalgia and enjoyment for. And that can kind of get in the way of Fortnite creating a brand of its own that is interesting and dynamic and, you know, not subject to the same kinds of contractual agreements where, you know, like you'll see Star Wars skins in the shop one day and then they'll be gone, which is maybe part of the license that they can appear in the game indefinitely. Like, people who buy those skins, you know, can use them for as long as they have that account. But, you know, maybe, where was I going with this? Yeah, people can, like, they can appear in the game indefinitely, but they're not going to be available for sale. Like, new digital items are not going to be distributed willy-nilly, or at all after a certain point. So, like, yeah, you log in, you check the shop, they might have, like, you know, Dragon Ball Z skins that really, really, you know, create a hunger in the player base, and they might only be there for a day. They're very non-transparent about, opaque is another word for that. They're very opaque about the, duration that skins will be in the store, you know, what price they might be at or remain at, how different skins might be bundled together. It's definitely there to create a sense of FOMO. Okay, I'm really not selling this game. Point is, like, we should all be critical of this. It's not great. It's rather capitalistic. It's a great game, though. I was talking about core gaming loop. So here's the thing. The core gaming loop with Fortnite is you drop onto an island from what could be, like, a plane, but is actually a bus with a bunch of balloons tied to it. It's very silly. This is kind of a running theme. Fortnite is a little silly. Everything from the font and the graphics, like, in a lot of ways, certain mechanics are reminiscent of, like, of other shooters like Call of Duty, where you can get knocked down in a match, but you're not, like, dead yet. Like, your HP bar runs out, and if you have a squad mate that's still alive, still active, they can resuscitate you, they can revive you. In the meantime, you just helplessly crawl around. So, you know, your squad, no, I wasn't talking about squads. Yeah, like, there are elements that are a little gritty, a little more realistic. Like, I have learned, because all my shooter experience comes from Team Fortress 2, which has all the classes, all the playable classes have one type of gun or a secondary, like a primary and a sidearm, and then a melee weapon. So they just have, like, a couple kinds of guns, and then all of the, like, alternate or upgradable guns that you have access to, or weapons you have access to, are, like, named silly things and not really based on anything real. Like, you got the Heavy, which carries a minigun, which, contrary to its name, if you're not familiar, is not mini at all. It's, like, mini relative to what you would see on, like, a tank or a plane, like a fighter jet. Mini to the point that somebody can carry it around and shoot from it. But definitely not mini relative to, like, a pistol or a rifle. But, like, the Heavy has the standard minigun. And, like, one of the upgrades for that is the Brass Beast, which has a longer time to, like, whir up the drum and start fighting, but the damage is more. You know, just, like, ways that they can kind of play with the little details like that. But the other thing is, your loadout, the weapons that your character and the gear that your character has equipped in Team Fortress is locked from the start of the game. I don't think you can change that mid-match, yeah. And the only cosmetic items that really exist are hats, which people joke about. Like, the "may I take your hat, sir?" line from SpongeBob. I remember seeing a lot of memes mashing up that line, that frame from the cartoon with Team Fortress. A lot of the items are non-cosmetic, is what I'm getting at. And the variation in Team Fortress, the core gaming loop in that shooter, is that there are various different game formats, but essentially, there are two teams. There's no free-for-all, no, like, 3-4 team games. There are two teams. You join one of them. There are 9 different classes. 3 are offensive in nature, 3 are defensive, and 3 are support. And you can pivot between different classes at different points in the game. I should probably record on Team Fortress. You can pivot between different classes at different, you know, whenever you die and respawn, for one. But, like, basically you're playing this class, you're trying to support your team in a different, some kind of way, to whatever objective it is the server you're on is running. There's a little customization in game types. People, you know, can set up a server with whatever weird, like, map or whatever they come up with. I think the engine is, like, I don't know what it's called, if Garry's Mod is the accurate name for it, but it's related. So there is, like, a kind of plasticity to Team Fortress. But the core gaming loop is, like, you load in as one of these 9 fighters with a customized, you know, set of gear, however you want to set it up. And that can lead towards different kinds of, different kinds of builds. Like, the Demo Man is one of the defensive classes. You can play the demo where he's, like, setting up triggered grenades that you can, are explosive devices you can then, you know, activate all at one time. Like, you say you want to put them around your base and wait till somebody, like, comes by or something. You can also build the Demo Man as a melee only warrior that can, like, charge. That plays differently than, you know, a demo with the sticky mines. But yeah, that's the core gaming loop. Halo, you know, kind of similar, very plastic in how you can create, you know, different game types. Essentially, still, you're, like, loading in as, you know, your Spartan with a certain gun type. Maybe you pick up a different one, but those are sort of rare. Maybe you have some added ability to your armor, like armor lock or jetpack or whatever. But for the most part, you know, you are what you are, and you're just gonna, like, keep spawning in whenever you die. And the goal is, like, whatever you set for that server, to get a bunch of kills or, to, you know, play capture the flag or, you know, do something goofier like golfing with gravity hammers. The core gaming loop of Fortnite is a little different. After you die, after you're eliminated, you're gone. In everything but single, like, solo games, it is a little difficult to actually die. Like I mentioned, similar to Call of Duty, which I have almost no experience with. Similar to Call of Duty, in Fortnite, when you're knocked down, you're not completely out. You still have all your items. You just can't take any meaningful actions other than crawl around and wait for a teammate to revive you. But the whole point of the game is you drop onto this map with 100 people total, 99 other people, or, you know, 100 people altogether. You drop someplace, you only have a pick at this point. You have a melee weapon that does relatively poor damage. This is not like Halo, where the melee weapon is basically guaranteed to be a one-hit kill. It's just kind of hard to get close enough to somebody to actually act on it. You have 6 item slots. One is locked to include your pick. That cannot change. Any rate, your 5 remaining item slots, you have to fill. Like, you drop, you just have a pick. Sometimes you drop someplace an enemy already is, and you just wail on each other with your picks. And that's, like, a slow and, like, grimy way to have to fight somebody. Usually, you land on the island, you sprint someplace to find a chest, you grab whatever item you can, hope it's a good one. And then you try to clear out your area or escape to find someplace a little safer where you can regroup. And you're also playing on this island that is roughly circular in shape and has, you know, various geographical features and areas, buildings, building complexes, different places. But basically you're navigating around this island, and there's a storm gathering at its peripheries that continually shrinks until the point that it's just like a small arena, like a cage match for you and whoever is remaining in the game at that point. Almost always the game makes it to the point where you're on, like, one of the last couple storm circles. Almost always. And usually there's a pretty consistent number of people remaining in the game at that stage as well. Like, you know, under 10. By the time the circle really starts shrinking. If you're out in the storm, which is marked as, like, a hazy purple field on the map, if you're in the storm, you're taking damage, and the damage increases over time, and the speed that the storm closes in also increases over time. It's not continually shrinking. It will pause every so often and then start moving into the next circle that you see marked on your map. So that's one way you can die. just by being stuck in the storm. Usually that doesn't happen unless you, you know, you get caught up in the storm later on in the game. The storm moves faster than you can move at your base speed. You can sprint and move a little faster than the storm, but your sprint runs out. It's a bar that runs out, and it has to, you know, like a few seconds later, it starts replenishing. If you have something that can allow you to travel faster than the storm, like a vehicle, there are cars like sports cars, which you can use like kind of a nitro boost on. They don't handle as well on rough terrain, but they move fast. They only seat two people. That's the other downside. If you're playing a squad of three or four, I think four is the largest squad size you can have for a team. But if your team is larger than two people, you can have somebody ride on top of the car, and they'll only get thrown if the car, you know, goes off a big jump or, like, does some kind of wild acrobatics midair. Which can be a problem, but you could lose your third person standing on top. Cars, cars also include the Jeep. Jeeps can seat four, so a full squad. They handle rough terrain much better. They don't go as fast as the sports car does. They don't go as fast, and they don't have a boost. I'm not sure about the HP bar for each of these. It might be different. Jeeps are also a little quieter, so they can't be heard from as far off. One thing a lot of people do in Fortnite is they turn on a, like, they visualize the sound. So even if you're playing with the sound on, even if you're playing with a very sophisticated sound system that can give some directionality to the sound, it can just be hard to intuitively understand where, you know, if you hear footsteps, where is it? Whereas when you visualize it, it shows on like a little ring, like what position, like, oh, the sound is coming from 7 o'clock. So you turn, to your left and behind you, till you find that the source of it. This is also really useful for kind of metal detecting, chests. Chests are how most items are found. Sometimes they're just planted around the map, but usually after the early stages of the game. Oh, and people drop them when they die, but usually after the early stages of the game, any free items are taken. Some areas have a lot of chests, however. And if you're in a building, sometimes it can be difficult to know if you hear the kind of chest sound effect where it is in relation to you. Like, it might sound like you're really close, but you could be above or below it directly. Whereas visualizing sound can help you understand where a chest is. And I think this is, I forget what this effect is called, but there's something, there's been a studied effect where small advancements or big yawn. Sorry if you also yawned. I won't just say small, actually, but like advancements or improvements to accessibility help everyone to some degree. They help many more people than they are designed to primarily help. And that's kind of a feature of it. You know, you have, like, you include subtitles on a DVD. And yes, that's great for people who are hearing impaired, who are hearing impaired and need, you know, subtitles to understand the movie. But subtitles, like, raise your hand if you also watch TV and movies with subtitles, because it's just, like, easier for you to process as well, even though you are a hearing person. It's just useful. And so I think this is, again, like, one of those, sound visualization is one of those accessibility features that can be beneficial to more than just the people who, you know, it was certainly introduced to help. I think that's a great thing, and I think that's a reason we all can stand to push for certain accessibility improvements where we have control over doing so. Anyway. So, where was I going? Yeah, I guess I was talking about chests and finding weapons and stuff. I'll kind of run through the different types of weapons, starting with, like, the kind of weird oddball weapons. They're not always, like, weapons in the traditional sense that they deal damage, even, but they might help you manipulate enemies around the battlefield. For instance, you've got... Or change the very terrain itself. For instance, you've got the Porta Bunker. This is an item that you throw, and it creates, pops out like a giant, not giant, but like a small shelter, that has like a ramp up to kind of like a crenellated castle wall that you can hide behind and shoot from. You can also hide inside it under the stairs as another option. So these are ways that you can kind of create a defensive fortification or a shelter where maybe one didn't exist. This is also the only way to kind of create a structure, to positively add to a structure on the battlefield in Zero Build. The main Fortnite game mode that they push is just Fortnite Battle Royale. It's Battle Royale, and you can also build stuff. You use your pick to gather raw materials from the environment around you by knocking down like trees or walls of buildings. There are different materials like brick, wood, stone, metal. And you can build different structures, like put up a vertical wall or a ramp or a flat platform. There's so much flexibility to what can be done with that. I'm not good at it at all. I don't really play build. People end up just, like, kind of, you know, you get too close to them, they start throwing up a bunch of, like, bullshit. And I'm just like, I just want to fight. That's all I really care about in this game. So, yeah, you got, the Porta Bunker. There's, oh god, I don't even know the name. I don't really use them that often. There's these mines that you can throw, and when they go off, they blast anybody nearby far away. So you can use them to, like, fast travel by, if you throw one at your feet and then jump in front of it, it'll, like, blast you into the air and you know, launch you far ahead. You can also use them to disrupt opponents. If somebody's getting too close to you, you want to just, like, knock them away, knock yourself away, get out of the scrape because they're outgunning you. You know, you can use them for that as well. I think these take a little finesse. I'm not really that good at them yet. But I think I see the potential, and I would like to practice more. So, lately I haven't been replacing them as much as a knee-jerk as I used to. What else? I guess also in talking about weapons and items, I don't know if these have all been around since the beginning or near the beginning, or if they are just recognized as part of the game. Because with each new season, games are organized into chapters, which each have seasons. I don't know how long a chapter goes. Fortnite started in 2017, so it's not like it's a year, but, like, we're in the second season of Chapter 5 right now. The first one was what I started with in, like, end of December, early January. The current chapter is themed around Greek mythology, so they completely modded about a third of the map, maybe more, maybe like 40% of the map, They added like a kind of golden prairie grass, very reminiscent of like the flashback scenes in Gladiator. Kind of space with Greek style temples and architecture, crowned by Mount Olympus, which is, I think, now the biggest mountain on the map. And it's guarded by this giant statue of a hoplite with wings. And then the other major adjustment from the previous chapter, or previous season in this chapter, is that there are other small things, certainly, but the other big one is that they, what am I trying to say? Yeah, the other big change in this, in the map in this chapter, is the underworld, Hades realm. It's the terrain is like dark purplish and gray, and the water that flows through Hades realm is like a bluish green that when you touch it, it gives you three glowy, ominously floating skulls around you that you can expand at any point by double jumping to, like, fast travel. Yeah, you kind of just do like a zipping, like, fast jump in a straight in a direction. You get three of those skulls. You can, once you take a dip in the River Styx, you can walk around anywhere and the skulls remain until they're expended. They can be replenished at any point by touching the water again. It's a really neat mechanic. It makes traveling around the map very different. And one other utility item that makes travel different is the Wings of Icarus. It's an item that lets you fly. Which is neat. You can, like, boost, you can dive bomb people. Your hitbox is a little larger, and that's kind of unfortunate. But it's a worthy trade-off, I think. For the ability to fly. And usually, like, I don't know, people have not been very good at shooting me down when I've been flying. And if they are, like, you're kind of like free falling, but you can fall someplace, you have a little control over where you land. But speaking of having control over where you land, when you're going over in the bus, you can see before the match actually begins what the route of the bus is over the island, what trajectory it's taking, and you can plan your descent based on that. Like, say it's headed directly through the center of the map. You can kind of go anywhere. Say it's heading through, like, just the northeast corner, top to bottom, then, you know, you're probably not going to be able to get to whatever is in the lower left. Which is that? It's not Pleasant Piazza. I don't know. Anyway, so, you know, but you get it. Like, you can kind of choose where you're going to land to some degree. Like, the... if you're dropping out of the bus and you're pulling your glider or your chute or your you know your glider, I guess, immediately, your umbrella, that's the word, then you're probably going to be able to make it a little bit farther than those who don't, but you're also falling pretty slow, and you're going to, you're maybe not going to get where you want to go before anyone else, which could be dangerous, because it's possible they've already stocked up on weapons, they've raided all the treasure chests, there's nothing there that's worth taking for you to grab. So, something to think about. What else have we got? There are healing items, like the med kit, the bandages. The bandages can only heal up to 75, and then past that, they don't work anymore. The med kit is great. It can heal any amount of damage. Your normal health bar is 100, by the way. Your maximum shield bar can be also at 100, and your, like, maximum overshield is 50. At least in zero build. So returning to my earlier point, different types of weapons. There's shotguns, which have a pretty wide spray, aren't as good from a distance at all, but are still kind of neat and useful in the sense that if you are in a firefight with somebody close off, it's a really great way to finish them up. In particular, you've got let's return to shotguns. Yeah, wide spray, not great from a distance, great at short range where all of the shot can, you know, make it into an opposing player's soft body. The hammer pump shotgun, as I gather, is pretty universally reviled. It's nice in that as you're reloading it, you go like foop, 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 and you like slot in a cartridge and slot in a cartridge and slot in a cartridge or shells. You just slot them in until the gun is full, which is like 8 or 10 or something. The nice thing is, if you get interrupted at any point, like you need to start moving or somebody catches up to you, you know, whatever point you've gotten on the reload is, you know, where you are. So, like, if you manage to reload one shell, that's still one more in your gun. I will say, the hammer pump shotgun, people really don't like, including myself. It's very slow. The rate of fire is bad. I'll just say that straight up. It's bad. So if you're in a close firefight with somebody and you miss any shots with a hammer pump, no matter how good it is, it just sucks. It feels like you got, like, time-walked, to use a magic phrase. Like you lost your turn somehow. Your turn to respond in combat, not like it is turn-based, actually, in actuality, but what else? Yeah, the auto shotgun is much better. It takes longer to reload, but a larger magazine. Larger magazine holds more rounds, and you also, with the auto shotgun, can just, like, go blam, 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 and it's a much easier way to take out an opponent. They also, with this new season, introduced the Gatekeeper shotgun, which is kind of modeled after, thematically, after Cerberus, in which the Gatekeeper shotgun has three barrels, and typically up to three, without modifying the magazine, up to three rounds it can hold at a time, which is usually that's enough to KO an opponent. I like the Cerberus really well. The Frenzy is also great. There's a whole range of ARs, which are rifles. They sometimes have a greater range than other weapons. Sometimes not. Sometimes they have, like, a pretty poor scope or no scope at all. But those are pretty good. Pretty strong rate of refire. Rate of fire and rate of reload is also not bad. So. You can also, if you get, you know, if you find a mod bench, you can, you know, pay bars, which is gold. Gold is an in-game resource. It's not spent on anything outside of the game. Gold does carry over from one game to the next. And you can reach a maximum amount of that, and that is 5,000. If you have any more than 5,000 gold, you just can't pick up more until some of it gets spent. But yeah, so gold, bars, there's SMGs, submachine guns. I'm not super keen on these. They can be powerful. The kickback and the way that it, you know, you have to actively, if you're trying to aim at a stationary target, you have to actively aim your reticle, otherwise it's going to keep drifting upwards as the weapon fires. I don't really like these. They definitely spray out bullets faster than the ARs, but I'm just not keen. The other thing is, I don't know. I guess I don't really have anything else to say on SMGs, other than that, I don't particularly like them. What else? SMGs, shotguns, ARs. There's snipers in the game. Snipers often come scoped. When they don't, it's a damn shame. You kind of have to mod it or it's useless, because the snipers can only carry a magazine of three bullets at a time. They are so slow to reload. They're very powerful, and especially if you get an eagle eye scope on it or something like that, you can hit targets very far away. But the thing is, you do have to account for bullet drop, which means, you know, the longer your distance, longer distance a bullet travels, it's going to fall. So if you're aiming at somebody who's reasonably far away, you're going to have to, like, aim up a little bit above their head in order to headshot them. Still, this is, like, when people don't know it's coming, it's delicious. It's also really frustrating if you've been on the receiving end of it. I don't recommend that part. Apart from these guns, the snipers, the ARs, the SMGs, and the shotguns, there are some kind of one-off weapons introduced, usually like Hades Whip, that can, like, hit stuff from a distance or drag it closer to you, which is useful for kind of like a double tap style kill, where you grab them, you yoink them close, and then you, like, you know, blast them with a shotgun or something. What else? Oh yeah, shield and healing. I talked a little bit about healing. You can also heal with food that is, can be found around the island. Shield, like, you start the game with 50 over shield in zero build and 100 health. And if you don't want, I mean, a lot of people do this in Minecraft where they're holding, like, a lucky totem, so just in case they die, they have the ability to recover their stuff, hopefully. Where was I going with that? Yeah, there's not really an equivalent in Fortnite. Yeah, I mentioned the wings, the utility items. The shield is great, though. There's small shield potions, which can do 25 shield restored a pop, but does not boost your shield above 50. The max is 100. Large shield potions will boost even through, you know, the up to 100, up to that as the maximum. And large shield potions, I love. I try to carry a stack around with me if I need them, because that is the first. So, like, after you're over shield, which is an extra 50 that regenerates, after your over shield is knocked out, your shield is the next portion to take damage. So you kind of want that to be robust, so you don't need to carry around as many health kits. Because the thing is, you have 5 item slots outside of your pick. So you have to kind of choose wisely for how you're setting up your loadout. And it's going to be different every time. It's going to depend on what kinds of items you can pick up. But it's a major consideration. What else? Sometimes there are boss matches hidden around the island. Sometimes, yeah, there's mean NPCs that if you defeat, they drop good weapons. Or possibly key cards that can get you access to whatever vault they were guarding, which has more good weapons and supplies and bars. Sometimes that key card provides access to a nearby satellite tower, which gives you the weather patterns. It enables you to see kind of the faint outline of the next circle after the current one, so you can always kind of stay a step ahead from the game and anticipate where the circle is going to, where the borders are going to move to, because it doesn't enclose in like a circular fashion. Well, it is a circle, but it doesn't, you know, create equally concentric circles all the way down. Like, you'll have a circle that starts dead center in the map, and then the center of the next circle will be on the left end of that one, and so forth. So, Yeah, when someone gets knocked down in Fortnite, you can, like, carry them or revive them, which takes 10 seconds and brings them back up on their feet with low health, but they're back in it. They can take actions again. If they get killed while they're on the ground waiting for a revive, which usually when I'm playing, I try to, you know, double tap the opponent a little bit. In the sense that I've knocked them down. Now, unless I'm actively still engaged in a firefight with their teammate or with somebody else, I'm going to take that opportunity to, like, kill them the rest of the way. When you do that, they drop their stuff. People can be rebooted. The teammate has to, like, pick up the reboot card that the player dropped at the point where they were killed, and they have to take that to one of a number of vans scattered around the map, and, you know, plug the reboot card into the side of the van. It makes a noise, you know, processing the resuscitation, the complete revival, and so doing, you also need to stand next to the van and hold it until his bar is filled, which can take quite a long time. Most of these things go faster with a group. Like, if you're trying to revive a fallen teammate, open a vault, whatever, like, it's just faster if more than one person is standing over laying on hands. So, anyway, I've talked a little bit about some of the basic weapons, loadouts, and the core gaming loop of Fortnite, as well as what I like about it, what it's kind of reawakened me to in gaming, what gaming is possible of doing. I've enjoyed it a lot. I think that's all I really have to say. I think I got my piece said about the aspects of Fortnite we can be critical of, the store experience, the microtransactions, manipulating FOMO, but that is ultimately a small piece of what the game is. For as many hours as I've logged already, I'm happy to have spent $8 on the current Battle Pass. It just gives me more skins and unlockables and things. Like, I'm totally fine with that. Spending, like, $8, you know, on a very long basis. It's kind of like software as a service, as opposed to just paying the sticker price, buying it, and having it forever. But, I don't know. Some people are much more susceptible to the FOMO aspect of microtransactions than I am. So I guess I'm lucky in that regard. What else is there to say? I enjoy the gameplay immensely. There's something so fun about, like, the different strategies that go into navigating the map, arranging your loadout, caring for and upgrading, in some cases, your weapons, and then also, you know, the dynamic of encountering other players, having shootouts with them, sniping at them. Oh, there's like an island that'll pop up at some point in the game, like floating above, a small island floating above the main island, from which you can, you know, snipe at other players. There's also like, if you raise the flag on the island, it dumps more items out that you can grab, and you can take portals to get up there or to reactivate your glider and glide to some other place on the island. I've really been enjoying this game. That's where I'll leave it for right now. Probably I'll have more to say at some point when I learn a little bit more about the lore, or I learn, you know, greater strategy and more about the dynamics. Although I do have a good number of wins under my belt. There's actually an emote that shows a counter for how many wins you have while wearing a crown, which you get for winning or for defeating somebody who was a winner, was wearing a crown, and you pick it up. So if you win a game while you are wearing a crown, either because you won the last game you played or because, you know, you defeated somebody who did, you know, I usually have like a good half dozen or so. The counter resets each season along with your ranking if you play any ranked, which I've been a little intimidated away from. I feel like with the recent changes of this season especially, I am happy to kind of ride out playing unranked for the time being. But yeah, I am now at my destination. Oh, good Lord, I've talked for an hour. I'm now at my destination. I've been talking plenty about Fortnite. Yeah, if you know me, let me know. Let's play sometime. Otherwise, I would like to extend a very hearty thank you, as always, to Scott Suter for composing the intro and outro themes to Let Me Explain You a Thing. If I could say it right, Let Me Explain You a Thing. Find him on SoundCloud at Scott Suter and Instagram and TikTok for his webcomic at Copenhagen Cool Ranch with underscores. You can also find me on the web at letmeexplainyouathing.com. I'm moving website. I found a kind of cheaper option for what I need it for, which is essentially just like a one page about me with links to my RSS and submitting topic links there. Did not need the whole website workup for that, so found a cheaper host. Or I guess, as J. Kenji Lopez Alt encourages us to say, a more inexpensive host. Not a less expensive or a cheaper, but a more inexpensive. There are subtle differences in connotation. I'll leave that to you to figure out, to unpack. But yeah, where am I? I guess for the time being, find me at the new website. It's still kind of undergoing construction. If you try checking it out, put in a www.beforeletmeexplainyouathing.com until I get redirect to work. Gotta mess around with that DNS. Anyway, love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Your listenership is always appreciated. And as bashful as I am about the podcast in real life, let me know if you listen. I always like to hear it. And if you're falling asleep, sweet dreams. Otherwise, take care, guys. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.